This show is for informational purposes only. Do not consider this an attempt to solicit products or services. This should not be considered advice. If you want advice, you could go to YouTube, find an influencer who's paid by affiliates to keep the lights on, or perhaps listen to athletes and celebrities who have no idea what they're talking about. I kid. In all seriousness, if you want financial advice, talk to your licensed advisor or find one. I happen to be one. Thank you.
Welcome to the Legacy Podcast. This podcast is a series of conversations centered around understanding the values, beliefs, and intentions behind leaving a legacy. You will hear from successful business owners just like yourself who want to leave an impact for generations to come. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Business Legacy Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Diu. I have a very special guest today, Shauna, the Tax Goddess. Welcome, Shauna.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here, Paul. It was so much fun to talk to you.
Yes, definitely. Shauna, tell us a little bit about, one, how you came to be, just because I think it's fascinating, and two, what is Tax Goddess about?
Well, how I came to be, long story, try to make it short. I started in astrophysics, so I definitely have a brain for numbers and math. It's one of my favorite things to do. After many trials and tribulations and all sorts of things, I ended up in the business college, started off in accounting and finance, and thought it was the most boring thing I'd ever done in my entire life, because at least for me, it was all about recording history, and I didn't like it at all. So I took a tax class, fell in love with it, because it's about solving problems. So basically playing chess with the tax laws, and that allows me to do fun things instead of just record history, which is awesome. So ended up in tax, and how Tax Goddess became to be. Started off with KPMG. So big accounting, you know, major four, effectively did a Goldilocks thing. So started with really big, went to a medium-sized firm, went to a small firm, went out on my own now about a little over 18 years ago, 18 and a half years ago at this point. Wow. And just a little bit, you know, and of course, as with many business owners, when I started the business, it was named after me, Shauna Weckerlein Consulting. Very good name. No, nobody cared. Right. And I was out, at an event one day, at a meeting one day, and it rolled off my tongue. I wasn't quite paying attention. And somebody put a microphone in my face to do a 30-second commercial and just rolled off the tongue saying, "Hi, I'm Shauna, the Tax Goddess." Every head spun in like a 300 person room. And a very good friend of mine, who's a marketing guy, sitting way in the back of the room, said, "You are changing everything to that name." And so henceforth, I was named the Tax Goddess. So that's the name for me and of course our company.
Great. So prior to this interview, I did a lot of research. I listened to a few podcasts. And one thing that really sticks out is your ability to adjust and just cater towards the risk, tax risk tolerance, if you will, with each of your clients. Now, tell us a little bit about the barometer that you use to figure out how to proceed.
Absolutely. So I've coined something called the aggression scale. So 0 to 10. So 0, meaning the IRS will never call you, never, ever, unless it's a random audit. And 10, meaning we're all going to jail. So it's the very first question that we ever ask anyone that we work with. Where do you want to sit on that scale? Now, often people will come back and say, "Well, my CPA is probably a 2 or a 3. And I always have to re-ask the question, because it's not about where your CPA is. It's about where you are as a business owner, as an entrepreneur. You know, most business owners and entrepreneurs are a little more risk-taking. So they tend to sit at 7, 8. I've had a few tell me I'm a 20, let them come catch me. And I'm like, "Listen, I'm a redhead, red and orange do not go well together. I'm not going to jail." So, you know, we tend to go to like an 8, maybe an 8.5, you know, everything legal, everything above board, crossing all the T's, dotting all the I's. You might get a call from the IRS, but our whole gig is to make sure that you're doing everything legal and everything perfect. So
I'm sure you run into situations where clients will do anything and everything to save on taxes, even to the extent of moving to Puerto Rico or moving to different areas.
Absolutely.
At what point does it become more about just saving taxes rather than actually enjoying your life?
Having so
how do you bring up that? How do you bring up that conversation for someone that's just so focused on saving that, you know, extra 2-3%, you know, sometimes 40%, sometimes whatever it is, to looking back and saying, you know, what do you really want?
You know what? You hit a massive nail on the head. Okay. So the aggression question is the first question we ask. The next question we ask is, what are your goals? What do you want? Right? We can absolutely legally take your tax rate down to zero. Okay. But there's a lot of stuff you got to do. There's a lot of steps. You might need to move to Puerto Rico or the US Virgin Islands or whatever, right? I mean, you might need to do that. Is that a step you're willing to take? For a lot of people, I always pick on the Californians. They love California. They totally understand that they are paying way too much in taxes, right? Doesn't matter. They love California. They want to be on the beach. I suggest, well, what about Florida? Florida's got great beaches. Yeah, it's not California. I'm willing to pay the extra 10 to 15% to live on a California beach. So you are 100% correct. It is absolutely dependent on the person, because some people, that 2%, that 3%, getting from 4% in Puerto Rico to 0% legally is really important to them. They want every single penny. They do not want the government to have a dime. But for other people, it's lifestyle. My kids have friends and we live in California. I'm willing to pay the 10, 15%. Doesn't matter. I make enough that it doesn't matter. So absolutely dependent on the person and what their goals are particularly.
Now, what would you say to someone who they have been presented all these strategies, these advanced tax strategies, and they're so focused on one strategy versus the other strategy? How do you unwind that? Meaning like, so, you know, charitable arrangers trust, irrevocable trust, like all these different strategies. How do you clear out the noise and distinguish what is good and what is bad? And I know that's a very complex question, but tell me, just because most people listening to this, they may not listen to the rest of the interview. They may say, okay, how do I pay zero in taxes? But
but you bring up a very good point. And actually, let me phrase it this way. I'll try and give the 30-second description and then a more detailed.
Yes.
So there is no magic bullet, period. If there was a magic bullet, one magic bullet, and you could do this thing and you would pay 0% in taxes forever for the rest of your life, the IRS would close that loophole so fast your head would spin. Okay. I honestly, and I'm getting goosebumps even describing it. If somebody tells you, I've got one magic bullet, all you have to do is put all your assets, the trust is the big one we hear all the time, put all your assets into this trust and you will never pay another penny of tax for your entire life. Just be cautious. Be really cautious. Okay. When you look at the big, big families, right? We're talking the Waltons, right? Gates. We're talking these huge, wealthy families. There is not one strategy, right? Warren Buffett doesn't have one strategy. He uses a team of advisors. They use multiple strategies. They diversify across strategies because what if there was just a brain game, Matt? What if there was one magic bullet and you took that bullet and you did that strategy and it got you to zero? And the next year the IRS said, yeah, we don't like that. Anyone who did that, we're now going to go after. What did you do? You just painted yourself into a corner, right? So as a tax strategist, when we look at how to do things, we're looking at a much bigger, more holistic picture, not only from the tax angle, but we have to work with the other advisors. We've got to work with your financial planner and your insurance planner and your real estate portfolio manager and, you know, like all of these people, because every strategy has pros and cons, right? So the one thing, anytime I get the telephone call, well, why should I work with you and implement these, you know, out of the 400 strategies that you offer, Shauna, you're telling me I need 15. Why should I work and do all this effort to implement 15 when this other guy is saying, I'll pay him $10,000 and he's got me covered with one strategy? I laugh, literally out loud laugh, saying, great, fine, get the private letter rulings. Find out how many times it's been audited, find out how many times it's been busted through, and then let's talk. Because that stuff makes me nervous to no end. If there was a magic bullet to get you to 0%, the IRS would close it. They want money. They like money. So
why do you think most CPAs don't have the time or wherewithal to do research around advanced tax strategies?
Absolutely. And I love the way you asked that question, because I'm going to look, can I want to back up just a step here, right? there's a huge difference between a CPA and a tax strategist. So let me start there. So I'll give you my background as an example. Okay. I am a CPA. Okay. CPAs can do anything. They can file taxes. They could be a CFO. They could be a controller. They could be a bookkeeper. They could be an auditor, right? CPAs can do a wide variety of stuff. Just because you have a CPA who happens to be a tax preparer does not mean that they specialize in tax strategy, right? So again, with me, I'm a CPA, great. There are 660,000 CPAs according to Google, right? So big number of CPAs. There's only 60,000 with masters in taxation. So that's the first level of specialization. Then you get to CTC, which stands for Certified Tax Coach. There's only 607 of us. Then you get to CTS, Certified Tax Strategist. There are 15. Five. So when I get this question a ton, you know, Shauna, I've been working with the CPA. I really like the CPA, right? I've never been audited. I've never had a problem. They do good work, but I'm not getting any kind of strategy. Well, it's because they don't focus on strategy. They don't have time. They're not reading. You know, the IRS comes out with a new update 3 times a day, let alone all 50 states plus the territories, right? What CPA in the middle of tax season has time to read all those emails every single day to stay on top of the news, on top of all the tax changes? It's effectively impossible. So, you know, when you look at somebody like me or other tax strategists, often we work with teams. You know, I've got a team right now. Our team is 89 people around the globe. Our team does the tax returns. I focus on tax strategy. I'm pulling out when that law changes and when this thing happens. How does that change the strategies that we apply for clients? So I hope that answers the question. Really, most CPAs, they want to help their clients. They absolutely, you know, we as CPAs all have a fiduciary duty to do what's best for our clients. They don't have the time. It's not their specialty. They don't have a team to even buy them 1 hour to be able to read anything. So it's a little heartbreaking, but we see it all the time.
And we talked a little bit about this before. What's your process in vetting or understanding some of these advanced tax strategies as the law changes on a, you know, daily basis, if you will?
Yeah. Hourly.
Yeah.
You know, the place that I always start when a new strategy gets brought to my attention is, great, show me your backup. Show me the research. Show me the tax code. Show me the tax court cases, because court cases can change tax law pretty frequently, actually. Do you have what's called a PLR, so a private letter ruling? If you have one of those, that's basically a rubber stamped approved by the IRS. So that's great. That's great news if you're looking at a strategy. And then the second bit, you know, so that's kind of the technical side of it. The second side that I look at is more the human interaction, communication, guidance side. So you can have a great strategy, but if the team that you're working with never replies to you, replies but only talks in tax code and never talks in human English, so you don't really understand what's going on. You know, if it's very difficult to get an appointment with them, right? If they're like, yeah, absolutely, sign these papers and then we'll talk to you in 6 months. You know, I would like a little more access for strategies, for strategies that I look at. I want a little more access. What if something comes up? What is your guarantee, right? If they have a guarantee. So if you get audited using their strategy, how do they protect you? Companies that say, well, no, then it's all up to you, doesn't make me feel very confident, versus with some of the strategies, they have their own tax attorneys. They will stand up for you. We've got proof and history of that. And we also have proof and history that the tax attorneys have won every single case that they've ever been audited on. So, you know, those are some of the main differences that I like.
How do you determine whether or not you need a tax strategist? Is it size? Is it, what is it?
I'm gonna come at it from two angles. That's the best questions, Paul. I love it. I would say size and drive are the two pieces, because you can get somebody that's paying $20,000 a year in tax and they hate it. They bare their teeth every time they have to write that check. They just hate it. They absolutely despise paying taxes, right? They don't want to do anything illegal. I always bring that up. Like, we're not Al Capone doing stuff in the background here, right? But they just hate paying taxes. They don't want it. So that is one side. But the other side, I would say most people get to the point of frustration with how much they're paying in taxes when they start to pay the $70,000 to $100,000 range in the actual tax that they're paying every year. Because when you look at that, when you actually sit back and look at that, most people go, geez, $70,000 a year this year, that's like my kid's college. You know, that's a new car. That's it creates a much bigger psychological impact when the numbers start to get larger. So that's when we start getting telephone calls like, hey, what can we do? What options do we have? That kind of thing.
Okay. What do you feel like is the most joyful part of what you do?
Everything. Absolutely. My favorite part of what we do is the actual delivery, right? So when we write plans, there's really, I would call it three phases, right? First phase is information gathering. I need as much data as possible from you because the more information that my team and I have, the better strategies, the more things, the more options, you know, we can kind of tear it apart and dig in and find what we can find, right? And that's a lot of fun. You heard me talk about playing chess, right? That's that's my brain clicking on all these things, you know, and me and my team just pulling apart and having fun with it. So that's fun. I absolutely enjoy that. Second bit is the actual writing. So now pulling, we can do this particular thing for you because this court case did this thing and that's how it set this law. And here's all the backup and here's the details. Not exactly my favorite, but my favorite bit is when we actually get to call the client and say, like, for example, I tend to do this on the weekends because it's I get more time to explain and give to people, but I do this on the weekends. I get to deliver and say, listen, it's you, your wife, you've got two businesses, you're paying $300,000 in tax. We took you from a 34.61% tax rate down to 2.3%. We've given you 24 plus in tax free income by the time you're 65. We funded your kids' college. We funded your retirement. We've helped you buy three rental properties. Are you happy? And they just kind of, you know, jaw drop, like, really? Uh-huh. Yep. If you follow all these steps and you do these things, this is your future. This is what this looks like. That's my favorite bit, that jaw drop and dead silence for a minute while they process information of that magnitude. So,
yeah, I could see that being very fulfilling.
Very. Mm-hmm. I've had some, and sorry to go off on this one. I think a part of the reason, because every business owner, I'm a business owner too, right? Every business owner has gone through ups and downs, right? And when I first started doing tax strategy, right? I'm a CPA, right? When I first started, tax strategy was this big thing and it was, you know, new and all these kinds of things. I was scared. Were people going to like it? Were they going to want it? You know, of course, now looking back 2020, of course, who wants to ever pay their taxes? But some of the very first cases that I was ever able to do, there was one in particular that I will never forget. Mom came, single mom, had a child, like 5-year-old son, started a small like beading jewelry business in her home office, you know? And so we walked her through, we created a plan, we're getting the kid on payroll, you know, we're doing all these things, right? Well, the day she comes back for her delivery, right? I'm all excited because I think at the time, this was when I was a baby in this, right? I think I saved her like $80,000, right? It was, for me, it was a big number at the time, right? $80,000. She literally broke out in tears at my desk. Like I'm handing her Kleenex. She broke out in tears. And I'm like, okay, I didn't know what to do, you know? do you need help? Are you okay? She's like, no, you don't understand. This is great. I'm not crying because of this. I literally just got news like a week ago that my son has cancer and the bill to fix him is going to be $80,000 and you just paid for it. Ugh. And then I started crying.
Wow.
So, you know, it's great to deliver these huge numbers, but when you can actually make that kind of goosebumps, when you can actually make that kind of impact in somebody's life, anyway, I will never, ever forget that story in my entire life because that was the drive for me to take the knowledge and what I do to this next level so that now we're producing massive results for people using even more strategies than I had when I first started. So
phenomenal. When you think about legacy, what do you think about and what type of legacy would you like to leave?
Oh, that's a big question. When I think about legacy, what would I like to leave? My brain is going off in two different directions. One of the questions that I ask for clients on behalf of, so I'll start with clients and then I'll start with me. One of the questions that we ask with clients is, well, what do you want? right? Because it is important. Some people don't have children. They want to focus on charity. Some people, one of my favorite comments that was ever made to me is, I have no kids. I don't want to do charity. I don't have dogs. I want to slide into the grave with zero, right? So like perfectly spend it. So legacy in my mind is absolutely whatever the person themselves sees for their future, right? And one thing I have learned is that that can change, right? So it's not a one-time question and then that's it. That can change as a person goes through their life cycles, right? When you're 20, that might be one thing. When you're 30 or 40 or 50 or 70, those things can change, right? So always kind of checking in with clients and what do they want and has it changed is big for me, especially on that legacy front. For me personally, and I'm a little embarrassed to admit, I have four dogs. I have a sister who has two nephews. I don't intend on having children, right? So basically what I am building, I have two, there's a two-pronged approach here for me. The first one is for my team. I would like Tax Goddess to actually continue. That's hard to do when you're a single owner and you've built it by yourself and, you know, these kinds of things. So Tax Goddess is just now working on, as I said, we've got about 89 people, building enough of a team to actually build a corporation rather than, this is Shauna's knowledge coming out of her head. So for example, we have four tax plan writers. I'm not the only one doing it, you know, these kinds of things. So the company, I'd like to leave to my people, to my staff. For a lot of them, our team is global. They're in 20 different countries around the world. So this is something that they, in my opinion, they are building with me and they are helping to create. So I believe that they should get a part of it if I'm gone, is the first bit. And then, of course, whatever's left, it sounds so silly to some people, but I left $100,000 in my will to whoever takes care of my four dogs. And, you know, the rest of it, I guess, is going to go to my two nephews, to my two boys. So
there you go. Phenomenal. Well, Shauna, this has been really interesting and insightful. Where can we find more about you and Tax Goddess?
Oh, you're a sweetheart. Well, I am easy to find. Just search Tax Goddess, YouTube and Facebook, and the website's probably the easiest, taxgoddess.com. And you can find me. We've got tons of free education. I am huge on making people educated. I don't like CPAs that just talk tax code or talk down to people. So tons of free education, YouTube, website. And of course, you can talk to me and the team that way too.
Well, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Such a pleasure.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Legacy Podcast. Now, if you can do us a favor and leave a review, any type of stars on any platform that you use, it would be greatly appreciated. For more information about us, the other co-hosts, and the Legacy Podcast, go to businesslegacypodcast.com. That's businesslegacypodcast.com. Have a great day.